got to come.
I'm going hard for my God, like I went hard in these streets. Instead of chasing that money, I'm chasing G-O-D. Been trying to walk in this image since I've been forgiven. Just trying to let my light shine so y'all can see the God in them. I turned away from my old ways, sipping by to the dope gang. Put the guns down, open my mind to some new things. When I picked up that Bible, the devil ain't like it. I know that he mad, but I know Jesus is excited. Cause I'm about to grind for him, grind for him. Make sure he first in everything, give all my time to him. About to save a lot of souls just off of my influence. And no, I ain't a preacher, I'ma do it through my music. It's a wonderful feeling when you let the Lord use you. Feeling like DJ Khaled, have your way however you choose to. Just let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm a hustler for the Lord, about to re-up with
it. I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus, Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus who? Jesus Christ.
Verse 2 is for those who probably know me from my past. Don't believe that I changed because they knew how I got down. Probably see me in them strip clubs or serving in them streets. Probably see me flexing bankrolls or swerving with a freak. I'm a two-time felon, what could the Lord do with me? Ain't nothing too hard for God, you just watch and you gon' see. Because the saint is just a sinner who fell down and got back up again. Devil had me on my knuckles, Jesus picked me up again. Dust me off, told me I should walk this way, talk this way. And any sign of trouble that I had, that I ought to pray. I ain't worried no more. I tell you, I ain't stressing, man. It's power that I found in God. I tell you, it's a blessing. I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it. Man, I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus, Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus who? Jesus Christ.
So now you know I'm a changed man. Got a new game plan. But I still rock, bust icy watches and chains, man. The Lord said, come as you are. He loved me for me. So all you older church folks, don't judge what you see. God judge up your heart. And since he changed your mind, don't judge before you get to know me. Make me change my mind. Too many youth left the church because they ain't feel love. The very place that pose the teachers are that God is love. How can you say you love God but don't show it? When you can love your haters like your brother, then you growing. And man, I'm growing. Growing through his word. Stop trying to do it my way and let God work. And now I'm feeling moving. My blessings keep improving. When I say I'm on the ground for God, you ask me what I'm doing. Well, I'm serving. I'm living for his purpose. Giving praise to his name at all times.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God. You know, I like that song because, it's wild where we come from. We was living wrong, trying to get it right, you know, giving honor to Christ who is the head of my life. Amen. To all the saints and friends and pastors and friends and friends all over the world and the different universities that are listening, I say praise the Lord. Amen. I'm an honor to my producer, Pastor Gerald, amen, Pastor O, as they call him, amen, the Running for Christ Ministries, and all my saints and friends, the different churches that I've run and learned, met, you know, the friend from Missouri, amen. I just thank God, you know, for another training day. You know, here in America, it is election day for the presidential election. You know, I don't know. I think some people think whoever they vote for gonna get rid of COVID-19. I got news for them. That ain't gonna happen. What's gonna happen is the prayers of the righteous are gonna get rid of COVID-19. Amen. And to keep the peace unto the rapture, they're gonna have to stay on the ball. Amen. And that's what I'm teaching this series about the rules of prayer. Because, you know, throughout my life, I've heard people, you know, and I know from experience that people make assumptions about prayer. Because we were never, you know, I mean, well, most of us were never really accurately taught about how prayer works. You know, for the new people, amen, that I've recently met, my perception training day begins with a remake of a teaching or from a Chinese minister, Watchman Nee, back in from 1900 to 1940, that did a teaching called Expected Christian Life. That's no longer on YouTube. I searched for it, but he still, it's like with most cases, spiritual man is just as informative and just as detailed with pretty much the same scripture. It takes, I would say, patience to listen to him, but you really have to get your mind past religion. Religion is you just want to do enough, hopefully, to get to heaven. Righteousness is you want to learn the way of God and for it to become the way that you live your life every day, and it infects the word is the standard for all your decisions, and through consistent practice, in an instant, you do what the words say and not what your emotions say. And that takes time, and that's why I call it training day, because you're not, some things you won't get overnight. You know, let us go before the throne of God. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for this opportunity that you granted us through the privilege, through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Jesus, for your shed blood which washed us and made us whole and fit to receive the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our guide and our comfort and our strength and our way maker. Amen. Father God, we're asking that you bless each and everyone here listening today. Bless each and every family. Bless them with a spirit of wisdom to see things as you see things and a revelation of Jesus Christ, particularly those that really don't know him. Bless the eyes of their understanding to be more enlightened, that they will know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, and the great and exceeding power that you've made available for them that love you. Father God, I ask you, bless them with the knowledge of your will. Give them the strength and the courage to carry it out so they can be fruitful in every good work, and bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Bless us, bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people. Amen. And bless our hearts to be open and receptive to receive what thus saith the Lord from on high. And I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was saying, you know, training day goes with the fact that as we are approaching the end of this era, the church age is coming to an end. Salvation is coming to an end. Not the end of the world. The end of the world, even the end of the world is really not what people think it is. It's though life going to come to a complete halt. It's an exchange where God will burn up this world and all that with it, but he will replace it with a brand new one. That's in Revelation chapter 20 and 21. But what we haven't been focusing on, and I get it, because we have so many, sadly, so many immature Christians that pastors, I've actually watched them back away in some cases from really going into detail as what it means to live a glorified life. Now, you know, there's a song that some of you heard, you know, the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. You know, we sing that, but I don't think we really, we know that, you know, we believe that, but we've never really analyzed what that means and how much power that is. Even though we see incidents in the Bible, they are so tremendous that we just can't see that being us. You know, I relate to the incident of when Michael threw Satan out of heaven. He hit the earth. You know, the common teaching is that when it said the earth was void and without form in Genesis chapter 1 and I believe Jeremiah chapter 4, that happened. It became void and without form when Satan hit it. So that was the answer for those that wonder when in indestructible object hit an immovable object, the immovable object got obliterated. And then God, what you see is the word replenish in the first chapter of Genesis, meaning God restocked, restored. So with that, we know that the man God, or the God man, small g, small case g, make sure you make that small case g, when God created Adam, made him, but he put him in flesh, and that set limitations on the power of his spirit. Because we don't understand, or everybody's getting their first trip here, and we really don't understand the fullness or the magnitude of that. And basically, this part of life is what I call part one. Part two will be the training with access to the fullness of power. We, you know, a lot of times I've heard people, and I've seen it discourage people because, you know, you read in the Bible and it talks magnanimously, and Jesus said things, and he don't lie, greater works than these. We're expecting there will be greater works. Ain't no question about it. The problem is we tend to narrow it down to the time frame that we think it should happen. But at the same time, I've witnessed, and throughout history, when you study Christian history, recent Christian history, you find that when God began to move, Satan tricked people into getting caught up. and it doesn't, what that corruption brings it to an end. You know, they people let things go through their head, you know. That's why God has to take serious regard when he allows a person to does a miracle through a person. You know, people run out and think they got a prayer ministry because they went to the hospital, prayed for one person, and they got healed, and now they open it up to sanctified laying hands ministry. You know, when God was just revealing to them that they have access to his power. But his key, the thing that God looks at the most, if the two commandments Jesus gave us in Matthew chapter 22, and that is love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul, spirit, and love your neighbor likewise. And look at what's going on right now. You know, I see Christians who take so lightly speaking against other Christians because they don't share the same political party beliefs. And the Bible is very clear that if there's only one, that when you see the body of Christ in the Bible, it's talking about all believers. So you cannot speak against one. And Satan is playing. He's playing on folk, and he's getting them set up, and they going to take the hit for that. Believe me, that dude is, listen, they don't know what they're playing with. See, this is the whole point. This is why God has been, he can only deal with certain individuals. You know, I mean, I've seen this happen with the word. Give somebody a little revelation, and now all of a sudden, if what they say is the only way it is, and then they could be wrong as two left shoes, and or even stuck on a doctrine that have absolutely really no use. But they let them tell it should be, you know, what they call it, canonized. because they get caught up in their little self. And they're more seeking of the approval of men in the Bible consistently. Warn that. And I would say to any new believer, read the book of Proverbs, the 31 Proverbs, read one whole chapter a day. I don't care what else you read. Read that because it will clearly cut your hair for you, trim you up. I've been doing a series that I'm only covering seven. I've covered seven of the rules of prayer. And I want to go through those right now because today is going to be number seven. I believe I'm going to complete it today because I know this. You're either going to go and seek God about it or you're not. You're either going to do it or you're not. My job is to give you information. God's job is to give you revelation. And he only give revelation to people that take him serious. This is why he'll make you come. The word seek is a working word. You have to come after him because he's got the goods. But if you learn the process, it makes your whole life easier because you see it from the perspective of his eyes and not your own. That's what's in the Bible. So let's go through these rules. And the number one rule is you must be in Christ. You know, I mean, there's some working factors here that people don't know, particularly people outside the body of Christ. And I see Christians who are ignorant of the word of God instructing people who are outside the body of Christ as though they have some right. You listen, dear heart, I love you. God loves you. But Satan is the prince of the power of the air. When Adam rebelled, that sin, he gave up control of the earth to Satan. So the rule is, if you're not under God's kingdom through Jesus Christ, you're still under Satan's kingdom. You could doubt that. It has nothing to do with how good you are. Matter of fact, that's why I'm teaching this series. If you get the revelation, you will find out why God has to send good people to hell. You know a sad statistic? More good to hell than bad people. Think about that. Why? Because there are more good people. But they don't have, Christ is not just his name. It is an ID badge to get into heaven. That if you don't have it, guess what? They got a zero tolerance policy. Nobody without Christ gets through them gates. Not one person. They don't even get near it. They go straight down to the hot place. Okay? And it ain't because they bad. You know? But it's because they're not submissive to God. Now, there's some exceptions to the case. You know, children, babies. All them aborted babies are in heaven. So, you know, I ain't going to get into that right now, but they're all there. You know, people that are mentally, what they call it, the Bible called feeble-minded, they're weak-minded, mentally ill, mentally, organically brain damaged, people that can't fend and think for themselves. In some cases, some people that have been so abused mentally, Satan got on them, them demons got on them so bad, set them up, you know, abusive childhood. God makes some exceptions, you know, and I ain't mad at him for any exception he make. You know, he turned murderers around and make them his servant. Moses killed a man, and Paul killed a lot of men. Paul was the Hitler of his day, and he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. But, you know, a highly intelligent individual, you know, that just refused to acknowledge God because they look at men and they try to figure this world out on their own. And, you know, that's risky. That's risky. But without Christ, that's the extreme risk. That's really the general reason most people wind up in hell is because they don't have that key card. They don't have the Holy Ghost key card that'll get them in. It's that simple. And it's free. Well, it ain't free. Jesus paid for it. He paid for it. You don't have to buy it. Thank God you don't have to buy it. Now, okay, so the number one rule, you have to be in Christ. You can't hold anything against anybody. I mean, yeah, your emotions, you got to grab. Because, see, again, you're talking about being given access to some power that's beyond your imagination. You see this with people with guns. You cannot. This is why we have laws. We have laws in every nation. when it comes to weapons, you know, when it comes to power, over political leaders. We have laws simply because we can't. You can't allow people to be ruled by their emotions. And this is the whole thing. Here in this, in the body of Christ, you're supposed to be a committed, total committed servant of the Most High God. That's to do what he say do, when he say do, how he say do. And he is not, if you're not going to pray for them because you don't like them, you don't answer the prayer. You wouldn't even have the power to pray if it wasn't for God. Okay? None of what you do, you could do without God. So, you know, he has a right to that. But this is the whole point. He's trying to get you to learn to live consistently in love. I mean, what if he did you like that? What if God did us where he held against us everything we did? We wouldn't be having this conversation. You know, matter of fact, I would be in hell would probably be 1,000 degrees. Somebody told me it's only 98 degrees in hell, but it's consistent. Ain't no water when your mouth get dry. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 32, there's a guy been down there 3,500 years wanting some water, and guess what? He ain't got none, ain't going to get none. But anyway, okay, you can't have anything against anyone. Number three, you cannot practice what God calls sin. Practice, not ain't. You know, Bible said, I think in John, 1 John, 4 John, 1 John 1:8, it said that if any man say he have no sin, he call God a liar. You know, so, you know, I mean, you're going to do, because Satan is loose, and you got a demon attached to you, assigned to you, okay? That's how you get made and molded. That's how you get trained. That's part of the process. I know, I get flack from people. They don't want to believe that. But they can't give me an alternative. I'm open. Give me scripture to say alternative, because I know it don't seem like that. Is, you know, I know it's a certain organization teach that God just play games, but he ain't playing no game. Listen, the military, when they give you a loaded weapon, and the law enforcement, they give you a loaded weapon, they're not playing a game. And they when that weapon is loaded, their mindset is different. They are more harsher about you making mistakes, because you'll kill somebody. And here we're talking about lives, and you're talking about eternity. Eternity. You can't even foresee 100,000 years. You can't even think 1,000 years. Think about that. Compare your age to 1,000 years. That's a long time to have a lot of power. Okay. So, and like I say, God, what he say is sin is sin. You know, the government can't, you will not be able to go to God, quote, no, talking about what the Constitution said. Not in his, that's man's kingdom. In his kingdom, when you come into Christ, you're in his kingdom, and that's your rule of law. And if you, I ain't the judge. Don't take the risk, I'm telling you. But then it's a reason for that. Because when sin short circuits your access to the power of God. That's why Satan promoted. He don't promote it just because you know, some people go, you know, through their weakness, are barely going to make it to heaven. And then they're going to discover they were all the time they were just being stripped of their power to get what they needed, you know, or to get what they wanted. Satan know this game. He's been at it 5,000 years. How long you been here? You don't know what you're dealing with. Your IQ might be 250. He is just 10 times that. Fortunately, the Holy Ghost give you a boost because his is unlimited. Okay? All right, so you can't practice what God calls sin. You can look back on other videos and radio broadcasts, and I go into that, but I'm going to be going through all this again in more detail. These rules are just really an overview. And okay, you have to control everything you say about everyone in every situation. You can cancel out your prayer by negative conversation. Your words carry power. They're buckets of power. They're buckets of energy. They're building blocks. If you don't want it, don't say it. In Mark 11:23-25, and Jesus said, whatsoever you say, if you believe in your heart and shall not doubt, you shall have it. Now, you know, that right there is powerful, because that's part of human makeup. Man is a God class being. So what he says, and see, and this is why you have to go by the word. The Bible is the book, the psychology, the standard of living for mankind. There's no getting around that. You can pick up any book of psychology. I'm majoring in psychology now, and in their books is already in the Bible. Everything that's already in the Bible. They ain't got no new news. Why? Because there ain't no new man. We do the same thing. The only thing we do different now is what we do it with. Okay? That's all. They use bows and arrows. We use guns. You know, we don't have nothing new. And Solomon put it down. He said there's nothing new under the sun. Okay? But it is powerful that you learn. You know, even the world. Norman Vincent Peale has a book, Speak Positive, Think Positive. You know, even the world knows that it affects. You'll never find a millionaire that thinks doubtful thought. I once listened to an interview of a millionaire that rode across Europe on a motorcycle by himself, you know, and he had some challenging situations. And whatever the commentator tried to make it sound negative, he would always go back to something positive about it. But it was a challenge, and it was an interesting. He always found something good to say. And if you go to a conference, a business conference on how to succeed, you will not hear them stand up there and talk about it. They'll tell you about how they failed, but how they overcome the failure. They don't just quit. You know, and that's the whole thing that we are supposed to learn about life. This is why there's challenges. How you going to Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Okay? Now, why would an omniscient God give you power to do nothing with? See, that's the problem. People want to do nothing. You know, Satan trick, it's easy to get people to back down and be lazy and do the minimum. But why? You know, this is, like I say, that right there, James 4:17, it says, if anyone knows to do good, that they ought to and don't do it, for them it is sin. So you can't, you know, he didn't leave no outs. But then he gave you all that you need. The whole purpose is for you to know this. I've learned this, you know. I learned this because I was taught this. I was taught by somebody that went through this, and I done went through it. God is not going to let you not go through it. Don't expect that. Don't expect that. I mean, think about this. God let the devil exist. People struggle to act like Satan is slick and he invisible and God can't see him. Read Job chapter 1, okay? You know, he ain't slick. God know you here. God know the whole story. There's a whole purpose. Think about it. It's got to fit. To me, it's got to fit. Now, I don't know. Like I said, I get people telling me stuff, but ain't nobody came back with no scripture to show me otherwise. I know this sound crazy. Listen, you're dealing with a God that don't have a birthday. How much crazier can that get, okay? He don't have a birthday. And then he has a son that died and rose again, huh? And got all power. You can't get to God without his name. People want to argue over that. You can argue with it. One thing about it, reality will show you that you're wrong. Okay. You have to be, number five, you have to be obedient in worship with tithes. It's more than about money. Because they didn't have money like we had money back then when this was written. Okay. But it's about submission to God. This whole mess. Or got into the whole point was it started with one individual not wanting to be submissive to God, even though they had all that life could offer. And none of us have had them days like Satan had. That dude never got sick, tired, or hungry. Never. No, he don't know the word broke. He had to wait till we got here to know what broke meant. He didn't know what sick and tired was. He never used the phrase "I'm tired." He never worked too hard. And the dude had, like, you hear these sound systems they got in the car. I was riding today, and this guy pulled up side of me. His car was making my car shake. Satan had that built in. He was one of a kind. That dude, and he didn't like that. That wasn't good enough. He wanted to be God. I told God, you should have done him a favor and let all the thoughts of every angel that you created in entered his head at one time. It would have gave him a headache so bad it would have blew his head up. I bet you would have stopped that foolishness. But you have to remember that God made Adam with his own spirit. Now, God, you know, it's a man of God, had never met, told me basically, you're going to be out there. I mean, this is God. It was so deep. You're going to be out there. You're going to be out there. Like he said, you're going to be out there like Elijah. You know, but I know I ain't the only one. You know, my brother just as crazy as I am. But anyway, my pastor, he way out there. I know he hold back on stuff. But I believe next year God going to let him let loose. Yeah, I think he just going to let loose. Because we're going into the millennial reign. You know, there's nothing left to prevent the rapture. Listen, there's so many things happen. I don't want to get caught up into that, but we're supposed to hear the horn blow at any moment. Okay? But anyway, okay, so where was we? Like I said, don't take the tithe issue to God. James 1:5 says, any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's when you want to know the right, have the right view of the word of God. You want God's view. Because it tithing goes back to Adam. It's about worship. It's about being committed to God. And trust me. He said, in Malachi 3, he said he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Now, listen, he ain't gonna pull money out of heaven. God does not counterfeit. When we made it illegal to make money, God couldn't do that. Matter of fact, you can't even get no manna because it had to go through the FDA. See, we made laws that block God. But anyway, you know, if you're out in the middle of a desert, that's a different story. But so the situation is, like I say, get with God on that. That's always. He's saying all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Listen, God is, think about that. I'm trying to see a politician and they're talking about some 6 months down the road. I mean, right now. I mean, you can go to God 7/24. And I guarantee you, what I know, I know because he gave me the revelation. you can only read it, but he had to break it down, open it up, and make it plain to you. Believe me, he'll do that for you. Young folk, don't believe you too young to get with God. Because y'all young folk, y'all really need to be telling this story because y'all can speak y'all language. Anyway, don't think you're too young. David was young, and he was running the kingdom. Solomon was young, and he was running the kingdom, and he did the best job ever. Nobody has ever had a poverty-free, debt-free nation since Solomon. Now, and if you read Solomon, you will clearly see he was a man of flesh, too much flesh. And God, if Jesus hadn't backed up and said that Solomon was the wisest man ever, I would have had wisest man once upon a time. But Jesus said he was the wisest ever. How about that? You know, that man had 700 wives. Man, they didn't even have, they take that ibuprofen for headaches. And you had 700 women getting on your nerves at the same time. Woo! Okay, you got to break yourself. Number six, you must participate in prayer for others than yourself. Listen, it's another one. I was amazed. But then I realized there are lots of doctrines out there. This is why you got to go to God. You know, I was teaching about the royal priesthood. I haven't got into detail on that, and they just flat out say, that ain't the whole body of Christ. Well, who is it? Who is it then? It's not the Catholic Church. That's not the royal priesthood. That's the royal Catholic priesthood. That's not the one that's in the Bible in 1 Peter 2:5 and 9. That's you. God gave, that's what you, one of the things, you have access to boldly go before the throne of God. See, you gotta see the type shadow. There's lots of information, the typology in the Old Testament and New. The high priest right now is Jesus Christ. You the priest. This is the way it goes. You pray for man. Jesus will pray for you. He pray for who you pray for. God don't pray at all. He answers. Okay? People got some, man, I tell you, it's some, they shouldn't have never closed up all these mental institutions. But anyway, all right, so you got to be a participant in prayer. Nowhere I'm going to go through all these in detail, but then there's a lot of information out there, and you can go back and listen to some previous, amen, because I am going to be going over there. And the reason I know God has got me and others going on this path, I was listening to some of my pastor's teaching. He started out at the beginning of the year, prayer basics. Prayer basics. He go through it. And with each time, God already throw a little flavor on it, a little different. But you get it. But the thing about prayer is that that's one way that you find out how powerful you are. And Satan, you know, I used to get discouraged when I pray for somebody or pray for a cousin. It seemed like they get worse. Well, that's rebellion from Satan because I'm getting through. And he's fighting to keep his possession. So if you pray for somebody and it seemed like they're getting worse, smile. Look up. Look what it says. Look up because your redemption draw nigh because you're getting through. He don't listen. You need to see these cities. Listen, I'm expecting a breakthrough in Chicago. We cannot keep praying for Chicago and not get a breakthrough. It can't be settled no other way. Same thing, man. I mean, it's that's what it is. We are the power. The power is not in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. need our power. They can't fix COVID. They can't fix the economy. It's like almost $200 trillion. Listen, that's $200 million a day, 365 days a year for 3,000 years. They can't figure out how to pay that off. Ain't but one person can pay that off, and that's the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth. But it's going to take the prayers of the righteous. Because it's going to take some repentance in Washington, and the only way they're going to repent is they have to have a revelation of need, and the only way they're going to get a revelation of need is if the righteous do their intercessory prayer pray for those in authority, as it says in Timothy, and that's how God get it done. This is about us. God is only watching. He's not watching the election, because he's watching who's praying about the election, who's praying about what's going on after the election, because what's going to happen after the election? You still going to have to pray. And even more, as we get closer to the end, Satan ain't going to just back off and quit and give up and say, well, I haven't succeeded in all this time. I'm gonna do. He ain't quitting. Remember, that dude, he don't have flesh. He don't get tired. You know, he don't get sick and hungry. Okay, he don't get headaches. You know, so he don't stop. We might, but he don't. All right, so you must participate in prayer. And now, we get to today's lesson. And you need to be in pursuit of the will of God for your life. Now, that takes some time to deal with, obviously, because it covers a lot of territory. When people think about there's the will, there's the total direction that your life should be, you know, and the process for discovering that is, can't be discovered without spending time with God in worship and prayer. But so we're going to begin on this one, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, well-known scripture to those of us that actually read the Bible. And it's sad when you meet a Christian. You've been a Christian 10 years and you ain't even read the four Gospels. You hurt God's feelings. I know you don't think about that. You have to remember this. This is what I learned about God that really had a major impact on my life. And that is, I could hurt his feelings. I don't think we get it. I mean, that was an eye-opener. With God, there's, what, seven people on the planet? Dear heart, God, when it's you and him, he take it as though it's just you and him. I mean, he has that capability of being individual and being all to all at the same time. That's what omniscience is. Think about that. Do you know what, God, you can't imagine the thrill God gives? You know, listen, I will bless the Lord forever. Listen, when I sing to God, he don't care that I'm not Andre Crouch. He's looking at my heart. That's the melody he hears, what comes out of my heart. When you pray, that is such a joy for him, because he can get stuff done. That allows him to pursue his love. His greatest love is mankind. This is the first part of life. His greatest love is mankind, and you play a major role in that. You may think your little simple prayer, Lord, to ask you to bless and give a revelation to Sheila and bless the eyes of her understanding, because it seems so simple to you, but it is so immense to God. You can't imagine how immense your prayer is to him. It may not be. Don't judge your life by what people think about you. They are assigned to attack you. They are assigned to hate on you. You know, Satan can manipulate people all the time. I've been hearing all my life, that prayer don't work. Prayer ain't about nothing. That church ain't about nothing. I need money now. And listen, that's idolatry, but I ain't gonna even get into that. And they could get it. Jesus said, you pray to me in secret, pray to God in secret, and I'll reward you openly. You know? And you, I tell you, you get to the point you fall so deeply in love with God, all that stuff really don't mean nothing. It really don't mean nothing. So, Matthew 6:33. This is a powerful message. This is Jesus speaking. He's talking about not being concerned for your care or your basic needs. But and you really need to go back and read that. Matter of fact, I'm gonna start with verse 26. Jesus said, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barn. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking," and this is powerful here, taking thought, "can add one cubit unto his nature? And why take you the thought for raiment?" That means that thought coming from somewhere. Worry don't emanate from your own mind. See, I'm telling you, you're dealing with somebody that's been studying mankind for 5,000 years. "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil, they don't spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought." Notice how frequently that saying, "take thought saying," take no thought saying. When I talked about speaking, don't say everything that come into your mind. Unless it's the word. If it don't match the word, don't say it. You don't want it, don't say it. "Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." That's people without a covenant agreement with God. "For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, no thought, take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Notice that one of the things, Satan has had 5,000 years to study us. One of the things he can talk to your head. Let me give you a clue. I've said this before, but I know I got a new person, at least one new person. And he knows, you have to be careful about responding to thoughts in your brain. You know, I've seen him drive people mentally ill. because they took the thought. And then they not only, you don't own a thought. Remember this, this is one of the laws of the kingdom. You don't own a thought until you say it. Because it enter your head does not mean it belongs to you. Okay? You don't own it until you say it. Then you own it. And if you own it and it's wrong and you realize that, cancel it out by asking God for forgiveness. It's that simple. You know, when we get to the priesthood, I'm going to show you the difference. Well, actually, I'll tell you right now, if you want to know one of the big differences between the Old Testament and the New, read Leviticus chapter 4 slowly and picture in your mind what is going on. Then read 1 John 1:8-9 and look at the simplicity. One, you got a bunch of sacrifice of animals and everything going on, and it's a bloody mess. And the other one, you just say, Lord, I know sometimes we do stuff and we just think just saying God forgive us won't end it that quick. Listen, don't let cause and effect mean it might have had, you said something, did something that had some negative impact that even if it's just mentally, stay on your mind for a while. That had nothing to do. God don't lie. He said he'll cast his fire from the east, from the west, never to be remembered no more. I can tell you, God does what he say. He don't lie. All right. Now, this is the thing about life. See, you only here for this time being. And again, life ain't about come and see, we've let these Gentiles, as Jesus said, tell us how we're supposed to live our lives. And right now, look at it. Right, look at what's going on in the world. They got this little invisible bug, well, lightly visible. If you look under the microscope, you can see it. They stopped the whole world economy. Now they're shutting down again. See? And I mean, but the point is that some people got in, Satan manipulated them into creating this system. And despite the fact the cultures have tried it over and over again, you pick any major culture, the Greeks, the Romans, the Medo-Persians, they all collapse. It does not work without God. It does not work without God. God has to be the center because that's that overriding factor. See, and I mean, there's some things going on. So you want to be in pursuit of the will of God. Now, you have to ask God. Jesus says, seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, where there's a kingdom, there's a king. And if you know anything, all governments have law. We're talking a legitimate legal government that belongs to God. And that's what you have to be in submission to. It is, how you going to know, how you going to know the laws of that government without reading God's word? I mean, you have to, because again, this is how we are characterized as being his children. You know, my notes here. Let's go to Matthew, just one chapter over, chapter 7, verse 21. You know, another well-known scripture. And this one, you know, deserve cracking open, but, you know, time getting back. Like I say, this is what the whole Bible is about. This is why you had to go to church on every Sunday. What pastors do is give commentary on the word in detail, and it's so elaborate that it takes about, on average, about 5-10 years to get a basic understanding. Because this is not a simple God. Listen, you got to understand that God has something planned that is beyond our imagination. And don't let this little few thousand years we've been here make you think that we didn't accomplish something. We ain't doing nothing. We only living because he letting us live. But think about this. Why did they call BC time BC? Or BCE? does he count backward? Why does the large number in BC time come before the small number? Why does he count down to Jesus or near and then up from Jesus? Because we're on a schedule. We're on a schedule, but it would take thousands of years to really understand the magnitude of what God has planned. And this is another thing. The Lord put this thought on my mind. You know, I'm back in school again because, you know, knowledge grows and revelation grows, even with the body of Christ. And that's the thing. I know people with two masters, two doctorates, and when you speak of the Bible, they get embarrassed because they know nothing. And this stuff stays behind. Nothing you've learned from any university, well, I ain't going to say nothing, but most of what you learn from any university has very little. You can't transfer it to heaven. It doesn't count. A doctorate degree from a major university does not mean nothing to God unless it served the purpose of his kingdom. I mean, you know, the Bible. Now, I'm not against education. Like I said, I'm in school again. And the Bible tells you before they had a Bible in the book of Proverbs to get an education, get knowledge. That's what knowledge is, get an education. You're on the planet, you need to know how it functions. You know, you got to get an education. That's what a lot of people got to get re-educated again. But I'm telling you, that is not the end all to be all. And when you get an education, you need to seek God as to what education you need to get, because that's what he gonna bless. Now, you can start some stuff and most people, see, this is the thing. This is what Jesus was talking about. Most people focus their life on what is gonna pay me the most. You know, I got a friend of mine. Well, no, we're not friends. Obviously, associate, because we don't hang out together. But he delivers babies for a living. I mean, for him, he just loves seeing new life come every day. And I mean, he might deliver 10 babies a day, and he makes on my what it's been about 10 years ago. He was making $5,000 per baby. He delivered 10 a day. He was getting $5,000 per baby. But that means that doesn't compare to him. He's seeing something, and it's a joy he never get tired of. And man, he had to be doing this now for about 30 years. I think now he's teaching at a university. But the money wasn't as much as life is to him. And this is what Jesus is saying. You know, this is something, I don't know if y'all noticed, on YouTube they have a lot of videos of people that went to heaven. You know what you notice you don't see in heaven? You know, and the people that went to the next life or the advanced life. You know, see all this technology we have. One, you won't need it, okay? See, in the next life, in the millennial reign when Jesus come back, I won't need a cell phone to communicate you. Romans 1:20, communicate with you. Romans 1:20 said the invisible things of him from the creation of the world can be clearly seen, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So God is showing us through these little devices some demonstrations of what kind of power we will really have. I mean, think about that right now. Demons, when they set up stuff, they ain't using T-Mobile to call each other. They can communicate with each other. They're allowed to do that. You will be allowed to do that. But it's even deeper things than that. So your focus should be on how to be, this thing is about being submissive to God with under the power of God. See, submissive means you have power. You have authority. You have to decide to bring your authority under his authority. And that decision as to what that standard is the word. We talking about the will of God, the church you belong to. Is that the church God wants you at? I'm at the church God want me at. You know, I thought that I should be going somewhere else, doing something else. I thought. And the last time God he made it clear, don't do that no more. I mean, my intentions were good. Because I wanted to go somewhere, I wanted to be helped. But God, this is not now. And that's, that comes down to, you know, what I do at my church is, you know, it changed from when I started, because I've been a teacher since I've been in the ministry, and they changed the format of the church, and I was happy, but, you know, and they changed the format. At that time, I thought, well, maybe it's not time for me to be here, and God turned that around, like, you know, look, dude, I'm running this thing, that our agreement. And one of the things I learned when we was at the other church building, you know, and our pastor did a sermon, and I remember, because, see, when you remember stuff, you remember they had them sermons to me, I call them epiphany sermons, and it was about being willing and obedient, you know, be with you, be willing and obedient. If you be willing and obedient. See, and he was talking about how God was saying he was being obedient, but not willing, you know. And you like, you figure if you're being obedient that you're doing it because you're willing, but it ain't always the case. So, and as a result of that, I mean, I watch how God move with him. I mean, you know, I've seen people, I met a guy, now, this is my, you know, I'm just throwing it out there. You know, if you send me an email, I'm going to just pray for you. But this guy told me he was a bishop, right? And he had a total congregation of 5 members in a little basement operation. I'm like, okay, I'm bishop. And you know what? I would never not call him bishop. I would never disrespect his office. Please understand that, you know. But, you know, bishops are generally pastors over pastors. You know, it was a pastor here, a late pastor gone away. I ain't going to name the church, but I know some of the saints and friends from Running for Christ know him. They don't use that term, bishop. But this pastor has produced pastors, okay? When a pastor produces pastors, I mean functioning pastors that grow churches, that's what a bishop does, you know? Anyway. So it's just an office. And like I said, I remember that. But, and again, that comes from doing what God say. You know what? Don't let the station you have, because I was at that once. I was sitting on the curb. When I use the term sitting on the curb, it refers to something I used to do as a child whenever I felt alone. I would sit on the curb and, you know, ponder. And I was like, Lord, you know, I should be doing such and such and such. And all you do is send me on these, what I call one-man mission. You know, you send me on a one-man mission. You know, I go and preach to one man. You know, I'm like, okay. But you know what? Then there's a major man of God that if I called his name, you'd know him. God had him, there's people whining about them having jets. God told him, get in the jet, fly to Africa. Then when he just said go to Africa. Then when he go to Africa, he told him what country to go to. Then when he go to the country, and he sent him to see this little old 105-pound black woman. Okay, to tell her to answer a question. Now think about that. He said, God, do you know how much that costs? He said, I gave you money to do it, right? See, so but I'm going to tell you, you don't know the impact them one-man missions have. You don't know how this is going to turn out. You don't know whose lives are being saved and served. Listen, don't think what your pastor does, you part of. There's a book out called God's Mutual Fund. What they do, you are part of. You are partner to. You receive. Now, because I'm getting close to the end of my time, but I'm not through with this particular message. One of the reasons a lot of Christians don't receive, particularly in the area of finance, okay, they get their healings and they get a lot of things. You need to have a source other than, you got to have more than one source of income. You got to be doing something and ask God what that is, because it's different for everybody. I know somebody, you know what, I started because I saw an opportunity. I started to take a sewing class. Just so I could learn one thing, how to sew cuffs in men's pants, because, or hems, I guess you call them hems, in ladies' pants, because, you know, a lot of cleaners get backed up. And, you know, they like to, what they call that, when they ship work out to people that can do the job properly. You know, all you needed was a sewing machine. They bring them to you, and you know, and you make like $5, but it take you like 5 minutes. You know what I mean? Come on, now, you know, how many of them cups you can do in an hour? See, people don't know. And then you want to know that seed. Then you get with God and say, okay, God, what can I do with this? Like I said, God, I'm learning this eBay thing, you know, eBay and Alibaba. Pray about it and ask God about it. I don't know. God got avenues. We're going to get into that one day, maybe. I don't know. We're getting close to the rapture. The bottom line is, you want to be in pursuit of God's, his singular intent for your life. In every aspect, and the more you know about it, this is something that should have been taught with every family. You know, this is a major teaching for families, a major teaching for churches, because it's so critical. And a lot of people are miserable in jobs because they're there without God. A lot of people think they're happy, but, you know, they got to buy so much stuff. I've seen somebody with a garage full of, so I call them attempts to be happy. They have so much stuff, cars and everything, that's just sitting around doing nothing. Because they're not happy. They're not happy. You know, think about that. This is what people try to substitute joy, the joy of the Lord, and their process, not knowing that's the whole point. So it really works out to your benefit knowing what the will of God is. And there's only one way you're going to get the will of God, and that is through knowing Jesus Christ and wanting to do his will. And like I said, his will, Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. He's not going to, you know what, he'll do the heavy lifting, see. And he every test that God gives, an open book test. If God, I would say, he don't test you to see if you're worthy, he'll train you, okay? He will train you, but it's an open book test, okay? And if the fact is, he give you the word in advance so you know what to do. You just have to practice it because it's leading into this eternal project that he got going. It's an eternal thing. It's not just for you. Like I said, you're not working your way into heaven. You're not working your way into the kingdom of God. Jesus paid for that. But you do need to know how to operate in the fullness of the power of God. And with that, we're going to conclude. And if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to do that now. You need to do that because, listen, this opportunity is going to soon end. And once it ends, that's it. You know, this is everything. This has an expiration date on it, you know. So just pray this prayer with me, and God will give you the revelation. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm lost, and I acknowledge that I was born in sin, and I ask your forgiveness for my sin. And Father God, I believe you with all my heart for my salvation. And I trust in the sacrifice of your son for my salvation. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. And with that, I'm going to say see you next week. If not sooner, I'm thinking about it. I'm listening to God on some other issues. But when it comes to the will, the lema in the Greek, the intent, the purpose of God, right now, in this time, with all the rest of those things, you want to be in the right place. In the will of God is the safest place you could be. In the will of God will protect you from COVID-19. And if you got it, it'll cancel it out. It'll give you authority over it. In the will of God, you get healing from cancer. In the will of God, you can get your finances met. Being out of a job, listen, God will give you two things. He'll give you a better job, another job, And you gotta be, or he'll help you open up a business. He'll meet your need. Because that's how, see, there's two things at work. You learning the power of God, God revealing his love for you. Well, actually, it's more than two things, but those are the two main things. You learning the love of God, God revealing his power to you. And y'all can get some things done together. And with that, I'm going to say shalom, be at peace, and keep the faith. Hallelujah.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you could please open your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, verse 5. It states, "And I answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried, so that I may rebuild it." Yo, if you heard God speak to you, would you listen or would you just turn away? Yeah, come on.
The cross was heavy, beaten to a pulp already. Betrayed by 30 pieces of silver, but he knew it already is deadly. Nail after nail, the Savior yells. Noon's now a dark night. Christian bail, the Christians bail. They thinking that the mission failed. For the one blinded, the word's now in Braille. Genesis 3:15 is now unveiled. So Father, why have you forsaken me? Awaken me. Now heaven holds a vacancy. Cause you prepared a place for me, a refugee. So I listen, cause you're risen, defeated, sent it. I'm on a mission to spread love, not division. Forgiveness, repentance. Cause you paid my life sentence. So I won't be timid. Let your light shine. So I might be imminent. Rebuilding these walls, I gotta try. Cause since we met, I'm in a different world like Jack and I. Remind yourself that you can get beside yourself.
Choice. What will you do when you heard the voice of God speak to you?